Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Sports Talk on Demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Rod Peterson Show continues Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com. Wherever you are checking in from this morning, pleased to have you. Your mid-morning sports talk show. We've been covering a lot of CFL today. If you've just tuned in, our poll today, our poll question, what is Canada's game of the week? With week 3 of the CFL at hand, Edmonton at Winnipeg, Montreal at Hamilton, BC at Calgary, and of course, Rough Riders home to the Argonauts. And the winner right now is the Eskimos at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers Thursday night for the Bombers home opener. Eddie Davis with us last hour, Marshall Hamilton and Darren DuPont. Pleased to welcome to the set two Rider Hall of Famers, Jim Hobson and Roger Branvold. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. We're well.
Good, good. How you doing, Rod?
Good, good. Well, Jim's back again. I appreciate you coming back, Jim, and your debut, Roger. How do you like the format here, what we're doing over here?
It looks very nice. I'm kind of excited to spend some time with you.
Oh, today, good. So. Good. Well, I know you always enjoy talking football. And, Jim, you never get tired of getting asked about the Riders, do you?
Not really.
No. I wouldn't think you did, no.
Yeah, it's always fun talking about the Riders. I mean, that's what we do in Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it's funny. You know, I think I told you that Brennan Tamman and I have been talking, and, you know, the one thing that he didn't like was you were always checking in, right? You always wanted to know what was going on. You weren't telling him what to do. You just wanted to know what was going on.
Yeah.
And Brennan always said, you got to hand it to the guy. He bleeds this place, right? He's the perfect president for this outfit.
I've been in contact with him recently, yeah, too, and hope to see him in October. We're going out to the coast and maybe get a chance to see him.
Right. So, but the reason I bring all that up is so you get asked about the Riders every day. So what are you saying now? At 0-2, how are you answering that question?
Don't panic. We're, you know, it's early. New regime, a lot of changes. You lose your quarterback, you know, basically coming out of the gate. I saw a lot of good things last week against Ottawa. I didn't expect the defense to give up the number of points they did, but we looked good on offense. Our line played well. I wouldn't panic yet. It's mm-hmm. early. You know, we're seeing a lot of things happen. BC is a, you know, bit of a mess right now, but I don't anticipate they're going to stay that way. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting year.
Well, you know, Roger, you're a Saskatchewan born and bred, right?
Yes, I
am.
What's
a little town that you're from?
Central Butte.
Central Butte. I knew that. Actually, we have a viewer, Donna. Donna Berger. Do you know her from Central Butte? She watches every day.
Oh, really?
Donna Berger from Central Butte. Born and bred here, Saskatchewanian. Jim the same. And I look at what's happened with Zach in this season, and I expect it's going to turn around too, Jim. But, Roger, it never goes easy around here. Why does it never go easy?
Yeah, you know, we tend to think or put a lot of pressure on ourselves. It seems that way every year. But you know what? Like Jim said, I believe it, the CFL is famous for just make it to the playoffs and get hot. And so there's no reason to panic. But you know what? Other sports are just the same. Look at the St. Louis Blues. Worst team in the league at January 3rd. Now they're Stanley Cup champions. So, you know, it is too early to get too panicky, and there has been lots of change. So hopefully people will abide with where we are, allow Jeremy and mm-hmm. Craig to make some right decisions and move along. And I think we'll be fine.
But there's a lot of reasons to love sports. But I think the biggest when you're a fan is the unpredictability. Like going into Ottawa, Jim, I picked the Riders to win. I thought they would. I got faith in this Fajardo, and he goes out and throws 360 yards, 2 touchdowns, and they give up 44 points. Who saw that coming?
I didn't. I was like you. I expected them to win. I thought it'd be a close game. I thought, you know, we'd handle them on defense, and I didn't expect to see number three get lit up. And really, he had good coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just great throws, but and the fumbles hurt. You know, we shot ourselves in the foot. You know, we made some mistakes, and every time we made a mistake, it hurt us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask you guys just some league-wide things. I want both your take. Because, Roger, you sat on a lot of league boards, correct? TV was one for sure.
Yeah, you know, during my time, I was on audit and finance. I was on the executive committee. And then, of course, the big one would have been the TV.
Right.
Yeah.
So the reason I ask, I mean, you guys look from a league level here. Let's get into the Simone Lawrence thing. Okay, the hit itself was terrible. The only people defending Simone is the Ticats, and I guess you have to. And then the subsequent two-game suspension subsequently, and then the appeal, and then he plays Jim on Saturday, and he's lights out. Six tackles, a pick, and an interception. That doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't, and it is a black eye right now for the league and for the PA and everyone, really. The fact that we're not going to have a hearing until July, you know, so we're not dealing with it quickly. I don't have a problem with the appeal and, you know, going through the process. I think that that's the way things are. But the fact that it's going to drag out is not good. It's tough. And I won't dump it on Randy and on Brian Ramsey, because we've had an issue, you know, with suspensions and discipline for a long time in the CFL, and we've got to figure it out. And I know that both Brian and Randy are committed to doing that. A little bit of a flare-up last week, which was a little bit out of character for Randy.
Well, I thought so.
Randy is a class act, and he really is genuine in his belief about player safety and doing what's right for the league. So, but, you know, tensions run a little bit high, and I hope that we learn from this and move forward with a better plan than what we've had in the past. I did think it was an unnecessary hit. I mean, when you've got two defensive players coming in, one stops and the other guy puts his head down and you know, goes after a guy in the ground. But we've got to get more respect into the game, more respect among the players. They've got to appreciate the gift they have that they're able to play this game, and that when they hurt each other and hurt themselves, it ultimately does a lot of damage to the game.
Well, Roger, how could this have been changed, or what's to be learned by what's happened here?
Yeah, you know, this is an age-old problem, though. I mean, certainly during my time, and Jim's on the board of the CFL, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about this, working with the Players Association. It's one of those things, though, that you can't be half-baked. You're either in it or you're out. And in my mind, we've sort of moved along inches on player safety. You know, every year we sort of adjust it modestly, but nothing is really done hard and fast. And I think this is a good example of it. You've got some of the Player Association saying that, you know, a two-game suspension is too much. They're appealing it. Yet one of their fallen players is involved in with a further concussion. So they want it. We've adjusted practice, equipment use. We've gone in favor of all the things that the players have done. I think it's time now the Players Association step up and say, look, the only way we're going to understand this and support it is by living up to these rules. And if the rules are two games, it's two games. And we got to fulfill it. There's always going to be some sort of appeal process, but it's got to be quicker, faster. We date back to the player in Ottawa that ended up supposedly missing the Grey Cup game, played in it, and played the first game of the season here. So I'm not sure if we're standing true and tall to the rules that we've tried to put down, and I think that's got to change.
Does the league talk to you guys at all? I mean, you've both accomplished tremendous things. Are you advising at all, consulting at all? Do you have any hand in what's going on with the league right now?
Not really. Informally, if we run into people, you know, we talk. I have a bit of a connection in that I'm on the CFL Alumni Association board now. And so through that, I have a little bit of an influence. But no, Roger, maybe they're talking to you a lot more.
No, not really. I mean, again, Wayne Morski is our chair of the board right now and our lead governor. You know, he'll seek out and try and dig into some history. but you know, they're trying their best at the board level, but it's no, we're not, or I'm certainly not involved at all with the CFL.
Only reason I ask is there's always going to be the fear mongers, and at times in my career I've been that. But if the CFL were to be extinct, a lot of people are out of jobs. You know, the media is fanning these flames, and I don't think they understand that if they fan them too much, it's going to be. Because I don't think the CFL is going to die. Wally was just through here a couple weeks ago, and he told me, oh, some of the things are going to go on in Vancouver that I'm not going to divulge right now. Maybe you guys know. But what are the league's biggest concerns right now? Like, I can't speak for what they're thinking in Vancouver, Montreal, or in Toronto, because I've lived here for 45 years. I don't know what it's going to take there. You know, but Jim, I know you spend time thinking about this. What are the issues facing the league? I mean, attendance is one that everybody's bringing up right now.
Yeah, attendance is certainly an issue, and it's been an issue as long as I've been around the CFL, you know. But I think there's a real concern with what's happening at the grassroots level, and that's why safety is so important, that we're seeing fewer kids playing football, except in places like Saskatchewan. I mean, mm-hmm. We still have a great, unbelievable program here. But so safety is really important in that, because parents are concerned about their kids getting hurt. And I think they can accept that injuries are part of any sport you play. I don't care, soccer, you know, lacrosse, you can go on and on. But needless injuries are things that scare people. So I think that's an issue, is grassroots. Attracting a wider demographic of fans. You know, we need a bigger tent. You look at the Raptors. That's a great story about how the immigrant population in Toronto and area have embraced the Raptors, and they haven't done the same with the Argos. So we've got some challenges. We always do. But when I look at safety, you know, for me, it's a long time since I played. We're talking back in the 70s, but we've come light years in terms of where we were. I think about the guys I played with, Bill Baker. He had that forearm, you know,
clothesline
that he would use and take quarterback. Ed McQuarters had a head slap that would turn your helmet around. We used to chop guys' knees all the time, and even training camp. I mean, I think about all the hitting we did. But I was reflecting on it just recently, and we didn't practice a lot different. We didn't do a lot of hitting once the season started. You can't. The season's too long. You know, you don't have big enough rosters. So we practiced in sweatpants and shoulder pads. So I don't know if we've changed a lot there. We do coach differently. We do play differently. I was taught to hit with my face. Put your face mask in the middle of the guy's chest. And, you know, we don't do that anymore. So there's been a lot of good changes. I think the game is much safer. It's sort of these needless cases that, you know, flared up, like you said, and everybody wants to talk about it. If we could move past that, and you know, Roger said we continue to, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot sometimes with this stuff. Let's get it fixed and move on. And it's a great game. I've really enjoyed the games I've seen so far this year.
We're going to, Clark tells me we're going to take a timeout. More with Roger Brandvold and Jim Hobson coming up. Your questions welcome on our Facebook feed. They are rolling in now here at the Rod Peterson Show. More to come after this timeout. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com. iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Tuesday morning sports update. Aaron Hicks and Giancarlo Stanton stretched the Yankees' home run streak to a record, tying 27 games last night, and New York beat the Blue Jays 10-8 at Yankee Stadium. Hicks and Stanton each hit three-run drives, and New York matched the mark set by A-Rod in the 0-2 Texas Rangers. Pascal Siakam beat out D'Angelo Russell of the Brooklyn Nets and De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings for the NBA's Most Improved Player Award. The honor makes Spicy P the first Raptors player ever to win it. We're talking CFL this morning. We've got Jim Hobson and Roger Brandvold with us, two Rough Riders Hall of Famers, talking CFL-wide talk as well. The poll is, what's Canada's game of the week? And our Twitter respondent saying it is Edmonton at Winnipeg on Thursday night. That so far is winning the poll. But, of course, we got a few days left for you to vote on that. Riders home to the Argos on Monday. Jim Hobson talked before the break about expanding the game, and Roger Brandvold, I want your thoughts on that. Actually, both of yours on CFL 2.0, because I don't really think, Jim, the last time you were here, we got into that. But Roger, yours, and we're not seeing a lot of European players trotting around the fields out there that I see that's starring, yet they are on the rosters, and it's apparently moving the needle across the pond and in Mexico, which was the goal. What do you think about this?
You know, it's an interesting step in the CFL's direction. I'm not sure I'm on board 100% on this one yet. I think there's still lots of work to be done locally. And what I mean by that, when I think about the business side of the CFL, we think about bums in seats, and there's a lot of opportunity to promote that, particularly in some of the stadiums. But I also watch at our new stadium, and we tried to build this in when we built the stadium, the new era of fans and how they watch football games. They're not locked into the game. They don't have their headset on listening to yourself in the past on the game. You know, these ones are more there for the social side of it. And so I think we got to continue to think about that as we build the CFL out. We need the CFL leadership of that to help that new era of fan to come to those games and fill up our stadiums. I also am worried a bit about TV as we go forward. You know, the last TV agreement we did, it was a huge one. It was a big piece of how the clubs continue to operate today. But, you know, I look at the next demographics out there, the era of the kids today, they're not watching TV. So they're streaming a lot of their games. So I think we're changing the way we have to evolve, and I would like to see us stay more focused on local and business decisions within the CFL than rather than spending a lot of time in Mexico. Although as much as I would love to see more of these kids play football, I think there's a greater opportunity to stay focused in Canada. And so I'm a little bit against where we are on that step.
Mm-hmm. You know, on that TV deal, Mark Cohan would do it again. I've talked to him. What are you guys' thoughts, though? I mean, obviously pros and cons, as there are in any business deal, but to jump into bed with one TV partner and ignore Sportsnet and CBC, two pass carriers, I wonder if it hasn't come back to bite the league in terms of the overall exposure of the league. I know it's paying a lot of bills, but have you gone back and thought about that and looked at it?
You know, it was interesting. I was fortunate enough to be part of that committee when we did the last agreement, and we spent about 18 months working with a business consultant out of Los Angeles on trying to understand what were some of our options and where could we go and what would be the best way to make the biggest dollar volume for the CFL. At the end of the day, we concluded one carrier was the right thing to do at that time. Anyways, at that time, that was the right carrier to do, and we felt like we negotiated probably as good a deal as we were going to get our hands on. Today, is there an opportunity to split that up a bit? I probably is. I'm getting a little distant from the analysis of it, but you know, maybe there is an opportunity to carry it out differently. I think probably it's worth the consideration, given to my last comment around, I think the world is changing on us, and not everybody's locked into TSN to watch TV. Kids aren't watching TV. You know, they're streaming games. They're social different. They're coming to game on a different social reason. So, yeah, it could very well be the right answer to look at packaging it up in different packages.
Looks like you've got some thoughts, Jim. What
do you
think?
Well, Roger was very immersed in this, and I too, but not to the same level. But looking back, my recollection is we didn't have a lot of options. That, you know, we kind of were presented the best deal, if you like, from, you know, from one carrier. There was concerns about only having one, but I think at the time, CBC wasn't that interested. They were going in a new direction. They were going through one of their renewals. So I think there's an interest now. Clearly, when you look at the United States, they've done very well by going with multiple carriers and, you know, and having that competition and so on. So I think we've got a different landscape now. Roger's right, though. I mean, today's generation, they don't come to the game with the same view as what we did. And they certainly are looking at streaming and all the things, Snapchat and everything else that's going on. And, you know, that's just the reality we have to work with. I'm not opposed to 2.0. I think it's worthy of work, but we still got a lot to do at home, as Roger said. And maybe we can dovetail the two and we got to build the game. That's what we have to continue to do.
Well, for sure. And I know there's one. He doesn't qualify as a senior, I don't think, but he's watching today out in Indian Head. I won't out him, but he said as far as the Riders doing a concert series and all these things that they do now, he goes, what's wrong with just showing up at a game and watching the game? I don't like people up and out of their seats and partying. And I'm like, you can't just think about yourself. You got to think about what's best for the franchise, right? And the game.
We took a lot of heat early on when I started as president for having too much going on because, you know, the traditional fan wanted to come, put their headphones on, listen to the game. They didn't want music and dancing and didn't need the big board. But that's the reality today. If you don't have that, you're not going to connect. And we see that in every sport. We see it everywhere around us. So, you know, it is what it is. And we just got to, you know, keep growing the game and keep it affordable too. I listened early on when you were talking about that, and it's a challenge. It's nice to see Winnipeg, and I know Atlanta, the Falcons, have done a really good job of putting in a kind of a value menu, and those are the kind of things that you got to do to keep your fan base engaged and happy.
And get them in the door, the people that would use that menu.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just one, I want to talk about Chamberlain's return in a minute, but first, in your book, you got me thinking about, you know, when the scoreboard came in, whatever year that was, the video board. And you give Bill Wright a lot of credit for just taking where it was to where it became, right? And you gave Bill a lot. Can you talk about that? Like, that was a game changer, the video replays.
It was such a big game changer. And it's funny because I knew we were the only team in the league didn't have a board. And I knew we had to do it in terms of advertising and fan interest and so on. And so we worked really hard to get the board up and secured the funding through SaskTel and so on. And then after we secured it, you know, Maz and I looked at each other and said, okay, what do we do? Once, you know, is it a TV? We just plug it in? No, guess
not
what?
Quite.
We got a lot of content and a lot of, and I still remember having lunch with Bill Wright at the Old Chimney and, you know, and getting Bill on board. And he went out and recruited locally all the people that made that thing work. And most of them are still around and did a heck of a job. But, it, you know, getting the board turned out to be the easy part. It was the content and keeping it vibrant and interesting and so on. And now I look at what they've got there with two big boards and showing the Raptor game and the Rider game. And it's just, it's a game changer. There's no doubt about it. And probably one of the most significant things that happened in my time.
Yeah, no kidding. Aside from winning, and Corey Chamberlain was responsible for one of those Grey Cups, 2013. He and Brendan Tamman. I always say, no matter how you want to remember them, you have to say they delivered. I mean, the pressure was immense on them. Some teams haven't been able to deliver, Roger. Like, look at Edmonton last year. 9-9, missed the playoffs, and the president loses his job. Let's talk about Corey Chamberlain and his return on Monday. I'm not sure there'll be a video montage for him. I'm not sure there should be. But I would like to see a nice applause from the Rider Nation for Cham when they introduce him.
You know, I'm a big fan of Corey. I mean, obviously, you know, he was here. He helped us win 2013. It was one of the most fun parts of all of our lives, being involved with the Riders. You know, I hope that Corey has had an opportunity to learn and grow through the process, though. I mean, in 2014, he loses his starting quarterback in the first game of the season. And that, I think it was difficult for him to manage his way through the process. He didn't quite catch on the right way of handling that. He's had an opportunity to work for guys like Tressman. And so to me, I'm hoping that he has matured through the process and he'll turn out to be the head coach that we all expect him he has the ability to do. But I to me personally, I'm a big fan of Corey Chamberlain.
Jim?
I like Corey as well. I think the wheels kind of came off for him towards the end of his tenure, and he let things get out of control. But, you know, when I reflect on his tenure, I think about people like John Payne. And I like John, and great guy. But we put John Payne into the Plaza of Honor, and he got to a Grey Cup but didn't win. Corey got to a Grey Cup and won at home. So I think he's worthy of a lot of support, and didn't end well here. But, you know, when you look at sports, that's not uncommon with coaches and players and so on. I was a little surprised what happened the other night. The wheels, you know, they totally came off, and I felt bad for what was happening. But everything that could go wrong went wrong, and Corey's a better football guy than that, and they've still got some work to do, no doubt about it. And Hamilton's a pretty good team, and things went well for them, but that was that turned into an embarrassment at the end.
Well, for them, and I saw Corey's comments after, he said everything about us was exposed here. And I would say that you hit rock bottom in your first game. There's only one way to go from here, and it's up. And where I respect Corey in a lot of ways, but one is he admitted that he wasn't at his best in 2015, the way he left. And I, from what I've heard, talked a little bit with Mark Trestman, you know, he's had some influence on Corey, just on perspective. You know, I think Corey's a different guy coming back this time around.
I think so. I had supper with Corey once when he was here with the Argos, and he was different then. He talked about the things he was learning from Mark and so on. I thought the other night he kept his composure, too, on the sideline. He wasn't losing it. And his comments afterwards, he's, you know, as you said, he admitted, we got work to do. We've got some challenges here. And for me, I think that's key to Corey's personality and his success is, you know, meeting the challenges head on and admitting when you mess up and fix it and move on.
Roger, what were your years on the board and chairman? Roughly,
I came on the board in 05 and left at the end of 13 when the guys won the Grey Cup, and I was chairman for the last 4 years of that.
Right, so right around the same era as Jim's, right?
Yep. Pretty much parallel.
Yeah. So here's my. You both can take a stab at this, but in your time, Jim, you worked with Shivers and Barrett, Austin and Tillman, Ken Miller, Tamman and Chamberlain. Did you see them change? Because I've seen it. The pressure is just unreal on the guys here. And I've talked to some of them about it. Ken Miller admitted it. Not on the air, but when he stepped away, he goes, this job changes you. And when I was changing, I knew I had to go. Right? Actually, Kenny, morning, Kenny. Or good afternoon. He's watching from Carolinas. But you've probably seen it as their boss, I would think.
I did. I saw it myself as well, you know, because of the fishbowl and the pressure and everything else. But with Roy, in private moments, he was still the same guy, funny and witty and opinionated. Like, he was a pleasure to be around just one-on-one. But he got testy. He got tired of the criticism. He got tired of the constant press coverage and so on. And he got frustrated by not getting over the hump. And so that changed him, and he became much shorter with people. Roy was still there, but it was tough. Yeah, Kenny definitely talks about that, how, you know, it got to him, you know, and he was still great in the locker room with the guys and so on, but you could see the pressure was there. I think it happens with everybody. We certainly saw it with Corey. You could see it in the public and so on. the one guy that maybe didn't change that much because he kept it inside so much was Brendan. You know, he was.
You wouldn't know.
Brendan was Brendan, and he didn't change his demeanor a lot, but, he was one of those guys just kept everything inside.
Mm-hmm. What do you see, Roger, in this?
You know, I would agree with exactly what Jim said. You know, there was a change on the players, or of the general manager and the head coach as time evolved, whether we were winning or losing. And it does come back to the simple fact that you cannot get away from it here in Saskatchewan. And that's a good and bad thing. We love Rider Nation, and then at times we, quite frankly, are pissed off at Rider Nation because they come on a little too strong. But I think it does touch us all. During my time on the board and the chair, I would listen to comments coming through the radio and sort of almost lose it to myself. And I can see how it can really wear on the general managers and the head coaches. You know, you hear comments and you think, well, come on, don't you think they've already thought this process through and you got fans bringing it up? But it's one that it's a love and a hate, and it can easily impact them, and I have seen change in the guys as they wore through it.
Mm-hmm. One guy, he didn't change when he was here per se, but he certainly changed was Kent Austin. He was wonderful the year he was here. He was a dream to work with. You know, I'd heard the horror stories about Kent Austin, the quarterback, but, you know, Ryan Whiplow, he says, of all the people he worked with, you know, he may have been the best. He was just so good to work with. Kenny was great as well. But then you watch what happened in Hamilton, and I didn't recognize the guy after a while. It wasn't the Kent Austin that we had, that's for sure. And, you know, I know he's gone through a lot in his life, and, you know, I hope he does well. He's back in the U.S. college game, and we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, it does change people. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but that's the pressure. And Richie Hall, of all people, look at the longevity this guy's had. He doesn't listen to the radio. He doesn't read the internet. He doesn't. Yeah, maybe that's the way to go about it, right?
And he's as sweet a man as there is. He's
and
just
still
a
going.
Wonderful guy, and just takes it as it comes. Yeah, he's an amazing to be around this long, and he's had a lot of success. He gets a lot of criticism, but he's had a lot of success too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would second that on the side that he's had a lot of criticism, but he's been able to handle it. He seems to be able to handle it. He knows what he is capable of doing, I think, is the big thing for his benefit. And so he doesn't need to stretch himself beyond that. And I think that's working for him.
You know, the guy that was hard on him, but he really liked him, but he was hard on him was Roy. And he had high expectations. And I never once heard Richie refer to Roy as Roy. It was always Mr. Shivers. You know, he was always very, so respectful.
Of course. People, you know? Yeah, well, that's hard, by the way, for me not to pull for Winnipeg in some corner of my heart because of Paul Appelese and Richie Hall. And really, the only reason I wouldn't is that then the drought's over, then they'd be back on top, and we'd have to start and scratch our head and say, who's got the longest drought right now? It's hard not to pull for the Bombers, guys. They're doing it right. I believe they are.
Yeah, there are. You know, we have a great rivalry, but of all the teams, we'd be the closest to in terms of, you know, ownership and fan base and everything else and tough times. And so, yeah, I cheer for them, except when they play against us, of course. Huh?
Yeah, right.
I think there's a gentle competition, not only on the field, obviously, but at the business end, too. But there's also been a lot of learnings back and forth. But I know that they for example, on one of their years here, a few back, on their profit picture, they sent out a pretty big note about it. And it was really to try and tell us that they made a lot of money just like we were doing. And
I remember.
So there's a competition right in there, which is good. And that's healthy for the CFL, quite frankly.
Absolutely is, yeah.
I just reflecting that during my time, I was closest to two presidents, Rick Lawlisher, Edmonton, and Lau Bauer in Winnipeg. And to this day, I'm still very good friends with both of them. And it's not unusual that we all were presidents of community-owned teams. So we had a lot of things in common, and I really enjoyed working with them. And to this day, still stay in contact.
Guy Scholes is watching from K-Down this morning, K-Town. He says, Richie Hall's identity is bigger than football. Hard to do. Guy is the author, I guess you'd say co-author, of Richie's book, Smoke and Mirrors, which if you haven't read it, you should. You can pick it up on Amazon. Great job, Guy. Great job, Richie. More with Roger and Jim when we return. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth, it's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
You know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms. Now back to the studio with Rod.
All right, the program continues on a Tuesday morning. A sports update brought to you by your business, right, Darren?
Yes.
Brought to you by blank. When are we going to announce those new sponsors?
Overtime.
Overtime? In overtime?
Let's do it in overtime.
Okay, next segment. All right. Sports update, Haley Wickenheiser is a top candidate to be announced as a Hockey Hall of Fame inductee today. The longtime Canadian women's team star is in her first year of eligibility. She, of course, from Shaunavon, Saskatchewan. Class of 2019 will officially become members of the Hall at a ceremony in September. Again, the class will be announced today. Masai Ujiri says he appreciates the interest from other NBA clubs, but his roots are in Toronto. The Raptors president held a end-of-season press conference this morning and said he is happy with the city of Toronto and the Raptors team. Reports surfaced shortly after the Raptors won their first NBA title that the Wizards were preparing a lucrative offer to lure Ujiri out of Toronto. Longtime NHL defenseman Brooks Orpik is retired. The American played 15 seasons in the league. He had 2 goals and 9 assists last season with the Capitals, won a Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh in 09, and another with Washington in 2018. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the football talk this morning with some greats. Eddie Davis, Roger Branvold, Jim Hobson, 3 Ryder Hall of Famers right there. Darren DuPont joins me on set, as we said earlier, my Tonto.
Which hi-ho, I silver.
Hi-ho, silver, away. And look at this guy who looks like a Tour de France rider. Ryan Phillips joins us in the studio, everybody. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this guy. He played for the Regina Pats, so clearly I love him immediately out of that. Played a little pro too, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
I understand?
Yep.
And this came across my radar last week on a Google alert that I have set up for the Western Hockey League. It says, former WHLer cycling across Canada to raise awareness for mental health. Hello! Two of my favorite things, recovery and hockey and the Western Hockey League. So, man, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very grateful to be here. Yeah, I guess like attracts like is my two favorite things, too. Recovery and mental health, which I think are absolutely key components to having a harmonious communities these days.
Oh, yeah.
in these trying times, so to speak.
Well, let's just, for the historians, you played with the Pats when?
I played with the Pats in 93, 94, and 94, 95 for some time before actually leaving the team just from, I think it was my own things, a few things with management and,
of course.
A few things probably with my battle with the bottle.
Yeah, it happens, right?
Yeah.
More than it should in sports. But, you know, so tell me a little bit about this story. I don't think you just decide to pick up your bike and ride across Canada on a whim. So how did it happen and where'd you start and how's it going?
Well, it kind of goes back to 2012. I was in Cambodia filming a documentary film about happiness. And I got a phone call from a girlfriend of mine who was an actress out of Los Angeles. And she said, I'm doing this bike ride with 20 of these awesome people, and we're raising funds and awareness for human trafficking and child sex slavery eradication. And I said, well, God, you know, my thing's on happiness, not, you know, misery. And right. I said, well, what if we can show the positive aspects of people coming together like a mastermind, so to speak, and making a positive difference in the lives of others? And I said, you know what? I'm in. Flew to Cambodia. And next thing you know, I'm riding my bike across Cambodia. It was an unbelievable experience, and it was for a beautiful cause. I was, I humbly say I was very blessed to get a TED Talks out of that as well. And I did it the very next year. And so this past, I guess, about 3.5 months ago, I was in Cambodia again. And I was kind of, I'd hit a depressed state where I was not feeling too good about myself. And I met this gentleman who was riding his bike across Asia, and just by fluke, well, I think everything happens for a reason. And he said, you want to come with me? I said, yeah, I'm in. And next thing I know, I'm riding my bike across 4 different countries over in Asia. And when I do something, I always want to do something with a purpose. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do it for mental health awareness. And, you know, then about a week before it was done, I said, you know what? I'm going to do the world. And when I got back, I got into, you know, getting some sponsors and a few things into motion. I got a camera guy and whatnot. And now I'm almost halfway across Canada. So, wow. You know, it's just one of those things. And, you know, I'm doing it for mental health awareness. You know, it's for mental health awareness. And, you know, there's obviously a huge message, a huge message that I'm trying to convey. And someone that suffers from bipolar, PTSD, has had substance abuse issues in the past. You know, my main thing is that this is not my ride. This is spin the globe. This is a ride to send a beautiful message, to help others. It's about giving others hope and you know, and giving them the courage to reach out and ask for help, because that's something that I wish I did earlier, and I would have caused my family a whole lot of grief, and a lot of people and a lot of relationships would have been salvaged.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Isn't that the best?
One day at a time. One second, one moment
yeah,
at
one
a time.
Yeah, one moment at a time, yeah.
Yeah.
Darren, and you jump in any time.
I'm just enjoying this,
clearly,
really. You guys can definitely go all day. Have at her.
Well, I'm certainly enjoying it. But you said your daughter was involved. So did she kind of spur you on to do this, or what's the story there?
My daughter is a brilliant child, just like all kids in my mind, just like all human beings in my mind. Unfortunately, she got into substance abuse issues about 3 or 4 years ago. You know, met a guy. Next thing I know, she's some things, kind of schizophrenia, bipolar, anxiety, the whole mental health, you know, soup, so to speak. And she's been in and out of psych wards now for quite some time. And, it's one of those things where I really just want to set a really good example for her, saying, you know what, if Dad can do it, because she knows my deal. You know, we're very open with each other. Then, you know, just maybe she can, you know, get some sort of motivation to, you know, really just try to make something with her life. You know, it's, you know, she's her own person, and I don't try to force her to do anything, but I do try to guide her in the ways of just trying to lead a clean life. And if you need medication, you need medication. If not, then you don't. But
whatever gets you better.
Whatever gets that well-being flowing
yeah.
into your life. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
One thing I love about the dub is just guys that played and just seeing where they all go after their careers, whether the end is they're 20 or they go on and play pro somewhere. And then after that, you got a guy riding a bike around Cambodia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would never have thought that. I do remember you, Ryan. I was with the PA Raiders in those years that you were in Regina.
Yeah.
So we just missed each other there. Interesting that we would connect now.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's funny how life works, and you know, it's one of those things where, you know, even though it was, you know, I was Ryan the hockey player, you know, that's not who I am as a person. I'm Ryan. I'm not Ryan the hockey player. That's just something that I did, something that I, you know, that I was doing at the time. Just like, you know, just like you aren't your job.
Yeah.
It's just something that you do and something that you're really good at because you got a great radio voice. But
yeah, but but the thing is, you run around because I see it the same way. But so many people here are like, "Oh, you're not the voice of the Riders anymore. You are going to be okay." And I'm like, "It's something I did for 20 years, and it's over." Yeah. Like, I've said that to Darren a million times. People just don't get that, right?
No,
they don't get that that mindset.
I saw that. You know, it's funny. I was on Twitter and I saw Colton Tuber, the former Pat,
Tuby,
is now coaching. I'm like, he's not playing anymore. It's been a couple of years. I think 2017 was the last time he played. The 2016-17 season, played pro overseas. But I'm like, wow, you know, what's he going through? He's not a hockey player anymore. But it's such a short part of your life, your overall life.
But
when you're a teen,
you think it's your whole life.
And everybody sees the stars. It's like, that guy's a hockey player. But it's like, that's only like 4 years of his life, of his entire life. He's not a hockey player. He's something else.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, the whole hockey culture, you know, behind the scenes, you know, I remember I left home, I had just turned 16 years old, and I remember, you know, laying in bed at night thinking about this awesome, you know, host family that I'm going to have, and I'm going to be able to teach their son hockey, and, you know, all these, big dreams, and what, you know, the biggest dream turned into a bit of a nightmare, you know. It was some of the living conditions, the rookie hazing was
really bad.
It's something that I'm really trying to, I'm trying to deal with right now. And I think it was Dan Carcillo that came very open, and you know, it had me in tears. He was in tears, and he was talking about a situation. It's, you know, called the hot box. I don't really have to go into it.
Go ahead.
You know, I will. Okay, I will go into it.
It did happen. I don't know if it still happened. I personally witnessed
I hope to heck that it doesn't happen. And if it does happen, you know, whoever's involved is sick and twisted and disgusting, and so is the person who's letting it happen, most likely at the front of the bus, which happened in my situation. And I'm not trying to play victim role or anything like that, but there was, you know, at one time it was called the Gong Show. If we didn't make the veterans laugh, what they did is they taped all our clothes up and tied them in tight knots, and you know, half of us were inebriated, and more than half, all of us were. And next thing you know, we're in the back of the bathroom there. There was nine of us. There was nine of us back there. And I remember being so claustrophobic. And
locked in the bathroom of the bus.
And you got to get your clothes untangled, right?
And like, so you're not allowed to come out until you have all your clothes, you know, untangled. And the veterans are all laughing and joking, thinking it's the funniest thing since, you know, Chris Farley and Black Sheep. And, but that's scarring, and you know, I was that made me scared to go to the rink, and it also made me scared to even see some of these coaches, because to know that a coach let that happen, what does that coach actually think of the individual? So, and then you hold all that in, you don't want to tell your mom and your dad and whatnot. Like, I mean, I could go on with, like, you know,
and that's mild compared to what happened to some. It was horrible for you. Traumatic.
Yes.
And it wasn't mild. I'm saying there's worse.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm saying.
And so many people have gone through it, right?
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't make you tougher.
No.
You know, it breaks people. But anyways, we could go on all day, Ryan. You got some sponsors that you should probably mention that are helping you out with this.
I definitely...
The hostel for one, right?
The hostel?
Yeah.
Yeah, the hostel is called High Hostels, and they're all over Canada, and they've been so wonderful. Every High Hostel that has been in every city that we've been in has been so hospitable, and let us stay there for free. And I think one of the main sponsors I'd like to give a shout out to is the Canadian Mental Health Association, who is, you know, they've backed me from day one on this, and I think, you know, I got a lot of sponsors, and, you know, they get blasted out on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. But I think the main people that I really, really want to thank the most is the people, the wonderful people along the way that have made this journey something that I will never forget as long as I live. And I really hope to ramp this up even more and, you know, have more people. Like I said, I'm not telling you what to do, but if you're hurting, I get it. I totally get it. I mean, I've had the blankets over top of my head for days and days and just an absolute train wreck. So if you're suffering from any mental health or addiction issues, please, please, please reach out, because you know what? You're worth it. You're definitely worth it. Your life is worth it. And the people around you, I know you have people around you that actually care. So, I think that's
the message. Yeah. Where can they follow you on any social media?
Well, I'm on social media at, it's Ryan Phillips Warrior. And my cameraman, he's way better at social media than me. He's World Trippin', and this guy's just a wonderful guy who's got all kinds of creativity. And if you follow him on Twitter, he's on Twitter too, at World Trippin', but his Instagram is definitely tells some pretty cool stories.
All right, sounds good, Ryan. Safe travels. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You betcha.
Get it in there.
All right. Actually, I'm going to give you this. My Peterson Recovery, One Day at a Time.
Oh, thanks, man.
And there's my contact info. We'll be back with Overtime after this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back for the Overtime segment, everybody. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com. Darren DuPont with me. Started slow, ended hot.
Oh,
it's not how you start, it's how you finish, right?
Yeah. This thing just took off, though, after the first 2 minutes.
It did.
Yeah.
So where do you want to go with this? You know, Ryan Phillips mesmerized with the Facebook component. And when I point over here, we've got a wall of viewers that are writing in as the show goes along, and they can ask our guests questions. And that part's a lot of fun. But I've got a viewer watching from Langley, BC, from these guys, from the Trinity Western Spartans hockey team, who gave me this mug last week when they came through. They want to know what it would cost to permanently have the mug there. because they didn't pay for this. I just put them here because they're my friends. Barrett Croft is the head coach, and they're going to Canada West next season.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That's very exciting for them. But on that sponsorship vein, there's a guy watching from Langley, BC, and enjoying the program today. Who should he talk to? Cliffy?
Yeah.
Put him in touch with Cliffy?
Well,
see you guys.
Send.
Happy trails. There goes the bike riders.
We'll stay in touch.
You betcha.
All right.
Stay close, as I like to say. Yeah. So the donuts have gone over very well. Well, I had to bring in 24 donuts today because we got two new sponsors.
Advertising at DupontMedia.ca.
That's what it is. Advertising at DupontMedia.ca. Because, again, here's the thing that I like about this. I got my phones going nuts with potential advertisers and sponsors, and I just shovel it over to either you or Cliffy.
Yep.
I always need to ask who to talk to.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going to let you announce the sponsors today.
Yeah. Two new partners on the show, which we're really excited about. Prairie Mobile is jumping on, which is that. It's very exciting. Where's the goal horn?
You didn't have it ready.
I didn't have it ready.
But chaotic.
Cut away from me so I can get on my phone.
No, it's okay.
Prairie Mobile and Capital Auto Mall. So that's super exciting.
Breaking news. Capital Auto Mall and Prairie Mobile Communications, your authorized SaaS telemobility dealer, are now sponsors of the Rod Peterson Show. So
that's
thank
exciting.
You. And the Twitter poll daily will be brought to you by the Capital Auto Mall and their various subsidiaries. There we go. That sounds great. Checking.
I'm trying.
Oh,
to
there's a
off.
Horn too. Clark's got a horn going. I like it. So two new sponsors today. The latest. Prairie Mobile and Capital Auto Mall. And today's poll, which will be sponsored by Capital, which is Canada's game of the week in the CFL? I guess I shouldn't be surprised by this. I just automatically always thought it would be the Riders. I automatically thought that. But as we've learned, this is a CFL-wide coast-to-coast show. And the whopping winner is Edmonton at Winnipeg Thursday night, where the Bombers have reduced concession prices for their Thursday night home opener. 51% of poll respondents at our Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson Show, say Eskimos at Bombers is Canada's game of the week. Second place with 32%, Toronto at Saskatchewan. Chamberlain's return, we've affectionately nicknamed that one since we can't call it Canada's game of the week. BC at Calgary, the redemption game. Dun, dun, dun. The 0-2 Lions at the 0-1 Stampeders. That's got 15% of the vote. And then somebody's finally relented and voted for Montreal at Hamilton.
They felt that.
I guess they would call that the friends and family game that only friends and family care about. I didn't get to a lot of the topics that I wanted to get to today, but that's fine because we got to some other great topics.
Yeah. It was a good show.
I thought it was.
It was a really good show.
People are enjoying it. Got deep with Jim Hobson, and Roger Brandvold. If you missed any of it, just go up to your window and go back on that white arrow there. And, you know, hear Jim's thoughts on how people change when they're in management and coaching roles with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. How the job changes you. Two guys that aren't consulted anymore by the CFL and have both sat on league boards. And they don't seem to miss it. It's stressful. I'll tell you one thing that I don't miss. Being asked for tickets, A. People still ask, you got tickets? No. Two, having the inside information. Who's starting a quarterback this week? I don't know. Nobody's asking anymore. Because they know I don't know. Well, it's going to be Cody Fajardo, obviously. But a great example is last year in the playoffs. Saturday night before the playoff game, Riders Bombers Western semifinal. You know this story, but yes. I'm telling this for the benefit of our viewers. Pretty good friend of mine texts me and says, "Who's starting at quarterback tomorrow?" Remember, was Zach Hurd? Was it going to be Bridge? Was it going to be Drew Tate? And I said, "I don't know." He goes, "Well, you're calling the game. How could you not know?" I said, "I don't know. I'll find out when you find out." And he said, "No, I don't believe you. I thought we were good enough friends that you could tell me who the starting quarterback's going to be." I'm like, "Come on!" But I honestly didn't even know because I didn't want to know. Now, I don't know these things.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, and nobody's asking. Solomon Elamimian playing this week? I don't know. We'll find out on day one of practice if he trots out there. I'm seeing all these rumors and stuff. Elamimian's back. Manny Arsenault's back. I'm not even getting into this.
But they keep it so close to the vest now and to the chest that nobody really knows until it's released. And whenever we see it, we see them at practice, whether they're in, whether they're out, whether they're on the field, whether they're not. And all we can do is speculate. Only the coaches in those offices know who's playing. And
right.
I wonder sometimes if they even know until they have to actually fill out the lineup sheet. Sometimes those decisions are tough.
You just get tired of being asked. Wayne Free is watching this morning, says, do you have any tickets, Rod? For you, Wayne, yes. Talk to my wife. They're from Capital, our show sponsor. But no, you're right. And you'd be surprised at what people do know and what they don't know. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm just enjoying the ride. And break the odds story of the things that I do know, whether it be the John Ryan signing or that Ken Holland's going to be the GM of the Oilers, or what are some of the other ones? Kevin Kaminsky's going to be the coach of the ice. Well, some of the things that I know. But with what goes on within that football team, I don't. And I think anything that you make a good point. Joe down in New York, who watches every day, he asked about the status of Dariusz Bladek, the Polish prince, the guard. Nothing's been said, right? We're not going to know till Craig Dickinson wants you to know.
Yeah. That's fair.
Shirlene watching this morning from Prince Albert. Another amazing show, Shirlene says. Always love hearing from Lou Hobson. One of the greatest brains in the Rider organization ever. I think spell check got her. Autocorrect. It's not Lou Hobson. Anyways, let's go.
All right.
You're heading off to BC this weekend?
Heading off to BC. And are you going to Jazz Fest?
Oh! Do you want to read this?
Do you want to do that now? Or you want to do
it
tomorrow?
No, save you it for it tomorrow. Do it now. Now would be a good time to keep these guys busy on
sure.
the other side of the wall.
Because they can clip this and put this on social media so you guys all have a chance. The people who have stuck around, I know when lunch hour hits, everybody's got to go for lunch. But we do have tickets to give away.
Do you want to read this or do you remember it?
I remember it. I know
okay.
it.
It's you wrote it down, so you should.
Exactly. Saskatchewan Jazz Festival this weekend. I think, or you said you want to go.
I probably won't go. I'd like to go. I want to see Jan Arden. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, Jan Arden's on Sunday. Johnny Reed's on Saturday. We got six sets of tickets to give away. Three sets of tickets to each show. Three for Saturday night, three for Sunday night in Saskatoon. And so we've asked it before, where you are watching from. Send your pictures, tweet the show, at Rod Peterson Show on Twitter. Find out where you're watching from. That's what we want to know. Send us an email.
We want a picture of it.
rpshow@dupontmedia.ca or Rod on Twitter. Send it to the show page. Send us your picture of where you're watching, and we're going to give away those tickets this week.
Megan writing in, she says, how about some Riot tickets? Big game this weekend. You know, I still have this Riot prize pack down here. If the Riot wants to send us tickets, we'll give them away. Regina Riot Playoff Football. I love that logo. So if the Riot, if you want to send us tickets, we'll give them away. And we'll tell the world that you got a home playoff game this weekend. They're already writing in. So what we need a photo of where you're watching from. A photo of you watching. And you'll be randomly selected for tickets to Jazz Fest. A lot of things going on this weekend.
A lot of things this week. Big week.
Yeah, well, and the Rattlers are home Thursday night. The John Ryan Golf Tournament Thursday. The Luau on Thursday night. It's a fun week here in the 306. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 10 a.m. on The Rod Peterson Show. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.